Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Beitza Daf Lamed Ches. We left off on Daf Lamed Zayin and Beis about 10-11 lines before the end of the page. We just started getting into the sugya of Breira. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also by Gordon Weingarten in honor of the bar mitzvah of his grandson Moshe Nyman, whose bar mitzvah is today. Mazel tov to the bar mitzvah boy. Mazel tov to the entire family. And we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. And the Zoom just conked out. Okay, hopefully it will come back. So we are holding again about 11 lines from the end of the page on Daf Lam Zayin and Beis, and the first sugya we're going to discuss is the sugya of Breira. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether there's a chiluk between Dinim D'Oraisa and Dinim D'Rabbanan as far as Breira is concerned. Oh, and we're back. Sorry about that, everybody. Something's wrong. Weird with the Zoom today. Okay, we mentioned your sponsorship, Mazel Tov, to Gordon Weingarten on the bar mitzvah. I think everyone's frozen. Okay, but anyway, so we're going to discuss whether there's Breira and Dinim D'Rabbanan and Breira and Dinim D'Oraisa. The Gemara is going to discuss what the Chiddush is in each of the cases in the Mishnah. The Chiddush of the idea that the Tchum of the Kli, of what the Halach is by the Tchum of... Conk that again. Okay, this is one of these days with the Zoom. Okay, so the Chiddush of a Kli that you borrow an Erev Yontif, and what the Chiddush is by the statement about the Tchum of a Kli that you borrow on Yom Tov. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to talk about why won't salt and water be batel, when we said that if the salt and the water belong to one person and the other ingredients belong to another person, so the resulting bread is subject to the Tchum of everybody. Why don't we assume that there's bittul in the bread, and that therefore it should only be limited to the tchum of the person who has the majority of the ingredients. So let's begin again about 10-11 lines from the end of the page. We had just said that Rav Hoshea Amar Yesh Breira and Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Breira. That was the last line that we had said, that it was Machlokas Rav Hoshea and Rabbi Yochanan whether Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. Thank you very much. Right, are they able to hear me? Yeah, I think so. Okay, so... Alright, I think you can see me. Okay, thank you very much. Shut the computer. Sorry for the delay, everybody. Okay, so let's begin. About 11 lines from the end of the page. So we have this machlokas of Hoshaya and Rabbi Yochanan, whether Yesh Breira or Ein Breira, where Rabbi Hoshaya is the one that says Yesh Breira, that we rely on Breira, we rely on retroactive clarification to determine what belongs where, who belongs to what. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, we don't rely on Breira, whether it comes to the Chavis, whether it comes to the Behema, you're only allowed to carry them if they were before Yantav started, they belong to two people, you're only allowed to carry them where both people are allowed to go. We don't say, oh, now that we divided it up, that the wine that I got from this barrel was mine even at the beginning of Yom Tov, at the beginning of Shabbos, and the wine that the other guy got was his from the beginning of Yom Tov, the beginning of Shabbos. So says Gemara, V'savra of Hoshaya Yesh Breira, is that true? Does Rav Hoshaya really hold of Breira, and that's why he would allow Shutvin to carry each one to his own Tchum? When he gets his portion, he could take it wherever he wants within his own Tchum. But don't we have a Mishnah that tells us as follows? Hames b'bayis, let's say you have a dead body in a house. V'lo p'sachim harbe, and the house has many entranceways, has many doorways, and all of the doorways, all the entranceways of the house are open or closed, and we don't know which way the mace is going to exit the house. So the halach is kulan tameim. All of the doorways are assumed to be tameh, and the kalim that are left in the under the awnings of the of any one of the doorways are all considered to be tameh, even though it's not under the olamis right now, because the chacham margoz is something called sof tuma latzeis. Now wherever the tuma is going to go, it's as if it's already there, and therefore the tuma hits under all of the awnings on the outside of the house, because potentially the mace can go out through any of those exits outside of the house. Niftach echad mehen, If one of the Pesachim opens up after the mace dies, and now for sure the mace is going to go out through that Pesach, so who Tameh? So the Pesach, that Pesach is going to be Tameh, the one that was opened up, because now that's the most likely candidate. So that's the one that's Tameh, but V'kulan Torim, all of the other entranceways are now going to be Tahar. So says Gemara, Chishev Lo Tzio Bechamen, what if you only had a Machshava that you planned on taking it out of one of the doorways, O B'chalon Sheish Ba'arba Al Arba, or you were going to remove the mace through a window that's 4x4 tfachim, even though it's not yet open, it's not yet physically open, but it's 4x4 tfachim, but you plan on taking it out through there, so then matzelis al psachim kulan, then it saves on all the other psachim from being metame the kelim that are underneath the other psachim. So there's machlokas beisham beisilel beisham yomru v'hushe chishev alav ad shel yomus hameis. That's only true if you had that machshava before the tumma began, before the person even died. But if your machshava to carry the mace from one Pesach was only after the Misa, then all of the Pesachim are going to be Tamei, because at the time that the fellow died, it was still not barer which way you were going to take him out. So it turns out at that moment, the Kelim in all of the doorways became Tamei. And we don't say Hover Lemafreya, that the mace was destined to go out of this Pesach, and Mimelo all the other Pesachim are Tahorim. Because Beishamai holds Ein Breira, even if you only had the machshava to take it out, you only had the plans to take it out of this doorway after the person had died, it still works. The machshava still works to be metaher the other pesachim by saying that huvra lemafreya, that it's through this pesach that you're going to be that you were always destined to be motzi the mace, because Beis Hillel holds yesh breira. So far we don't have any questions, right? Meaning the whole point was we were meant to ask, does Rabbi Hoshaya really hold yesh breira? We haven't seen Rabbi Hoshaya yet. We're only So says Gemara, the Itmar Allah, and it was stated about this Shita of Beis Hillel, that Beis Hillel is Metaher, all of the other Pesachim, when you just have a plan to take the mace out of one of the Pesachim, that Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, Letaris HaPesachim Mikanu Lahaba, that Beis Hillel is only going to be Metaher the Pesachim when you have that Machshava going forward, meaning if there were Kalim that were not yet under the awning until after you had that Machshava, that's when Beis Hillel is going to be Mitzahir, because you were at that point, at the point that the Kelim arrive, you're already Mevar B'daito, which Pesach you want to take it out of. So what do we see? Mikanu Lahaba'in L'mafrehelo. It's not going to work for Kelim, even according to Beis Hillel. It's not going to work for Kelim that were there previously. The Machshav is not going to help to Mitzahir those Kelim L'mafreya, because we don't say whoever Adover L'mafreya that the Mesel went out of that Pesach. So you see that Rabbi Shaya holds Ein Breira. So it's a stira to what he says over here by the Chavis and by the Behema, where he says Yesh Breira, and that each of the Shutfim could take it wherever he wants within his own Tchum, because whatever Chelek he got is the Chelek that he always had. Now it's interesting, because if you accept Rav Hoshaya's qualification of the Beis Hillel, that the Beis Hillel is only going to be mitaher for kelim that come mikanu lahaba, so then what exactly is shitas Beis Shammai? Meaning Beis Shammai had said that vuhu shechishiv alav ad shelo yamos hameis, even for kelim that are only going to come mikanu lahaba, Beis Shammai is mitame even the kelim that come after the machshava. Well, why is that? So Rashi explains, because according to Beis Shammai, once there's tuma that hits these psachim, that tuma is not going to leave those awnings until you do a maisa. A machshava to plan on taking the mace out of one entranceway is not going to remove tuma that's already present under each of the awnings. So it's not going to be removed until you do a maisa. But bottom line is, we see that Rav Hoshaya does not hold of breira. So how can you tell me that Rav Hoshaya says yesh breira and Rabbi Yochanan says ein breira? Says Mar, you're right. Epoch, you got to flip it around. Rav Hoshaya amar ein breira. Rabbi Yochanan amar yesh breira. Rav Hoshaya is the one that says ein breira. It's Rabbi Yochanan who says yesh breira, because we see the stira in Rav Hoshaya between tchum and tumas meis, that by tchum he seemed to have held yesh breira, by tumas meis he said ein breira. So he said no, flip it. By tchum he also holds ein breira. Rav Hoshaya is the one that rejects breira. It's Rabbi Yochanan is the one who accepts the concept of breira. So says Gemara, really? Umi yisle the Rabbi Yochanan breira? Does Rabbi Yochanan really accept breira? I'll bring you a source that will show you that Rabbi Yochanan rejects rejects Breira. V'amravasi amrav Yochanan ha'achin shechalku. If you have brothers that split the father's Yerusha, so this is a Breira Shaila, right? Meaning there's an estate that comes to all of the brothers, and then when they decide who gets what, so do we assume that Huvra Adavar L'Mafreya, that was my Yerusha the entire time, that when the father died, that was the Yerusha that he was meant to get the entire time, they just didn't realize it yet? Or do you say, no, they all got everything, and now they bought each other out, they bartered each other out of their chalakim, and therefore it's like lukuchos, they're like, they're purchasing from each other. So if you hold of Breiro, it'll be Huvra Adavar L'Mafreya, and it would not have a din of lukuchos, it would have a din of a direct Yerusha, that even though Reuven got this field and Shimon got that house, it will turn out that was their Yerusha. Whereas if you don't hold of Breira, no, it wasn't their Yerusha. Their Yerusha was everything. And the fact that Reuven got this field and Shimon got that house is because Reuven bought this field, brought his brother's chalakim in this field, and Shimon brought his brother's chalakim in that house. So what does Rabbi Yochanan say about this? So v'amravasi amrab Yochanan ha'achin shechalku l'kuchos heim. They're considered to be l'kuchos. It's considered that each one bought out the other brothers, and therefore Magzirin Zelazabiyovel, so Chapsa Big Nafkamina, that they're Lukuchos, because then it turns out that they're subject to having to return whatever they purchased at Yovel, the whatever field they divided, because when they Yarshin from the field from the father, it was Shaykh to all the brothers equally. And when they divided the karka between them, it's as if each one sold to the other. So by Yovel, any field that gets sold, the Steyachuza that gets sold, goes back to the original Bailim by Yovel. So you see very clearly Rabbi Yochanan does not hold of Breira, because if Rabbi Yochanan held of Breira, he should have said that even after they divide up the estate, they are not Lukuchos, they are Yorshim, and it's as if the Yerusha was initially divided when their father died, that it was Misparil L'Mafreya, that this was my Chelek, this was this brother's Chelek, and that was that brother's Chelek, and they wouldn't have to be Machzir to each other be Yovel. So Gemara tries to reject this Kasha, and it says, V'chi Tema, maybe you're going to tell me, no, Ki Lesle Rabbi Yochanan Breira, when does Rabbi Yochanan say Ein Breira? That's Dafka B'Daraisa. That's only by Dinim Daraisa. A Din of Yerusha is a Din Minat Torah. So that's where Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm not going to rely on Breira, and I'm going to assume that each one has a Din of Lukuchos. Aval B'Drabanan. But when it comes to Dinim of Tchumim, the subject of our Mesechta, the subject of our discussion, Tchumim is only Drabanan. So Islay, for Dinim Drabanan, Rabbi Yochanan is willing to rely on Breira and say that it's Huvra Adavar L'Mafreya on each chelek of the animal or each portion of wine from the barrel that already on Erev Yom Tov that was destined to be each person's portion, and therefore you can it's fair to switch the shitos and say Rabbi Yochanan holds Yesh Breira, and Rabbi Yochanan is not inconsistent. He holds Yesh Breira on Dinim D'Rabbanan. He holds Ein Breira on Dinim D'Oraisa. Says Gemara, but even that Rabbi Yochanan holds Breira on Dinim D'Rabbanan, is that true? Ubidrabbanan mi islay. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold of Breira on Dinim D'Rabbanan? Vahatani, but don't we learn? So what we're about to learn, we're catching a Mishnah in progress. This is a Mishnah Maseches Erevin on Daf Lamed Vav and Beis, where it says that a person is allowed to set up two Eruvei Tchumen, one 2,000 amos to the east, the other 2,000 amos to the west, and he makes it tonight. And he says, you know, he's very interested in hearing a certain Talmud Chacham give a shir. So he says, Im b'chacham l'mizrach, so then I'm konash visa, my Erev to the Mizrach would work. I know there's a Chacham coming to a neighboring city, and that's outside of the Tchum, but if I make an Erev Tchum, it will be inside the Tchum. So if the Chacham comes to the east, then I want to be Konash Visa there. If the Chacham comes to the west, then I want to be Konash Visa there. And if two Chachamim come, one to the east, one to the west, then I want to be Konash Visa in whichever one I decide, whatever I'm in the mood for. One is a fabulous Darshan, and the other one says Halacha, very nice. I'll see what I'm in the mood for tomorrow. If I'm in the mood for Jewish, I'm in the mood for Halacha, and I'll decide which of my Erevin should be, which of my Erevin Tchumid should be the right one. So Rabbi Yehuda over there says that you can make a Tanai even by Shnei Chachamim, and B'Shabbos will be Mispar L'Mafreya. On Shabbos will be Mispar L'Mafreya, which side you want, it was Kona, the Erev was Kona Ben HaShmashos. But Ayah was Cholek on Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in the Mishnah, on how to understand Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in the Mishnah. And Ayo says, Vatani Ayo, now back in now to where we're picking it up, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Oda Masna Al Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. Now, no, a person is not able, if a person put an Erev Shabbos, two Erevin, one Litzan Mizrach, one Litzan Mariv, and he doesn't yet know which way he's going to want to go to hear the Drasha, so he's not allowed to be Somech on his decision on Shabbos morning to determine which way he wants to go and say, oh, that's where I was going to Shvisa when Shabbos started. Ella, but if he's only able to make it tonight when he wants to hear a particular chacham and he just doesn't know which place that chacham is going to be coming to, imba chacham lemizrach eruv lemizrach lemarav eruv lemarav vilukan lukan lo. So apparently, according to Ayo's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, if there's a chacham that he wants to hear, but he's just not sure, is the chacham coming to the town on that side of me or to the town on that side of me? So then he can make two eruv and make it tonight. And as soon as he finds out, it'll be Hurvar Adavim Mafreya, that's the Erev that was operative. But if there are two different Chachamim coming, and he just hasn't decided which one he wants to hear, that you cannot rely on Breira. You cannot say that I'll just go to whichever one I decide to hear tomorrow. So Vahavinan Ba, Maishna Lekanu Lekandalo. So he said, well, what's the difference? The reason that you're not allowed to set up in two different directions and say that if there are two different Chachamim coming, that I'll just decide tomorrow and that will be where my Erev is. Why does that not work? De'ein Breira. It doesn't work because we can't say Breira. We don't apply the principle of Breira. We don't say over Adavar L'Mafreya that was my Erev the whole time. Well, by that same logic, Mizrach U'Mariv Nami. If it's a single Chacham and I just don't know which way he's coming, to the east, to the west, isn't that also Breira? Ein Breira. We should say Ein Breira. We should not rely on the Eruv. Because at the time that Bein HaShemashos happened, he didn't know which one was going to be his Eruv. So now, because he finds out new information on Shabbos morning, it's gonna make one of the Eruv inoperative. Savam Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, this is the key. Rabbi Yochanan, in discussing this issue of Tchumin is Drabanan. Remember, we tried to make a statement that Rabbi Yochanan holds of Breira for Dinim Darabanan and only rejects Breira for Dinim Daraisa. So Vam Rabbi Yochanan, in the subject of Tchumen, Rabbi Yochanan explains the Braisa that distinguishes between one Chacham and two Chachamim, Ukvar Ba Chacham. And he says, talking about a case where the Chacham already got there before Ben HaShemashos to be, so he was Konishvisa at that time. So if it's Chacham Echad, you just don't know where he came. So a person makes that tonight and says, whichever place the Chacham came, that's where I want May Eruv to be. So that you're allowed to do, because you don't need Breira for that. That's only a Gilui Milso, because it's already happened. It's already been determined. I just lack the knowledge. The Chacham is where he is when Shabbos began. I just don't know where he is. So that's not really Breira. That's just as soon as I find out, good, so that's where I'm going to be, Konish Visa. But bottom line is, the way Rabbi Yochanan reconciles this is by saying, you're right, by Tchumen, we do not hold of Breira. If there are two Chacham coming two different directions, you are make the decision later, it doesn't work. We don't rely on Breira. Alma, less than Rabbi Yochanan Breira. So now we have a problem. We try to answer the stira between Rabbi Yochanan on when he spoke about Tchumen on the one hand, and when he spoke about what was the other case, and when he wasn't Tumah, that was within the, oh, when he spoke about Yerusha on the other hand, that when Yerusha was a Din Dol Raisa, so for Yerusha he wasn't going to rely on Breira, but for Dinim Darabanan like Tchumen he will rely on Breira. Here we have by Tchumen Rabbi Yochanan doesn't rely on Breira, so the answer is not going to work. So says Gemara, you know, go back to the first understanding of the Olam Lo Tepuch. The original way we expressed the Machlokas was that Rav Hoshaya holds a Breira and that Rabbi Yochanan rejects Breira. Let's go back to that. Why did we reject that? We said, oh, because Rav Hoshaya does not hold of Breira. In the case of Tumas Meis, Rav Hoshaya said, ain't Breira. Well, so what? Tumas Meis is a Din D'Oraisa. Rav Hoshaya says, Yesh Breira only by Din D'Rabbanan, by Tchumen. So for Rav Hoshaya, that would work. V'chilasa Rav Hoshaya, Breira B'D'Oraisa. Avol B'D'Rabbanan Islay. Rav Hoshaya will only not hold a Breira when it comes to a Din D'Oraisa, but by Din D'Rabbanan, he will hold a Breira. Darish Marzutra, Halacha Rav Hoshaya. That we pask in this way. We pask in B'D'Rabbanan, Yesh Breira, and B'D'Oraisa, Ein breira, and I think that is in fact the way that we pask in la halacha. That when it comes to din d'oraisa, we're not going to rely on breira, but when it comes to din d'rabbanan, we will rely on breira. The Ran writes that it says the d'oraisa ein breira. That's only l'chumra, but meaning when we say that we're not going to rely on breira for d'oraisa, that means we're not going to rely on breira l'chumra for d'oraisa. But l'kula, that would not be true. So if a person tells a lavler, he tells a scribe, write a get to whichever isha I decide to be megarish. He has several wives and he just can't afford it anymore. So he's going to have to trim down his number of wives. But he hasn't decided yet. You know, he's running a reality show to figure it out or whatever. So he hasn't decided yet which wife. So he tells the scribe, I want you to write a get for whichever isha I decide to be megarish. So suffik megureshes. So the Rambam passes that way as well. So it sounds like mitam safik, it's mitam safik. The b'daraisa ain breira, b'drabban yesh breira. But in the Yam Shul Shlomo, he says that even though it turns out that when it comes out that the din is l'kula, we still don't say breira on a daraisa misafik l'chumra. And he brings a raya from Arasugya, v'achin shechalku l'kuchosein, and the marzirun zelazabiyovel. Now, if mitzad safik, it's only mitzad safik that we say in breira, why would they have to be machzir biyovel? Meaning, what the Ran is trying to suggest is when we say that we don't rely on Breira on a Daraisa, it means we don't have enough confidence in Breira to rely on it. We're choshesh for Breira. We think it might be operative, but we don't have enough confidence to rely on Breira. So Breira is treated like a suffix. So normally when it comes to Dinam Daraisa, that's why. When it comes to Dinam Daraisa, we're not going to rely on Breira because suffix Daraisa l'chumra. When it comes to Dinam Darabanan, we will rely on Breira because suffix Darabanan l'kula. But says the Ran, what if you were to have a case where relying on Breira would be a Chumra. So then on Daraisas, you would rely on Breira because it's all about Safek. So comes along, the Yam Shul Shlomo says, not true. And the Raya is from our Sugya. Achin Shechalku, we said, they're Lukuchosein. That's a Din Daraisa. If you're going to rely on Breira, then you're going to say that they're not Lukuchos. If you're going to rely on Breira, you're going to say that they don't have to return anything at Yovel. If you don't rely on Breira, they do have to return things at Yovel. And what do we say? They're Lukuchosein. We don't rely on Breira, it's a din d'oraisa, and therefore they have to return things at Yovel. When you have a suffix, whether something belongs to me or something belongs to somebody else, you say suffix d'oraisa l'chumra? No, that's not the din by dinim mamonos. That's a din by yisr v'heter. When it comes to yisr v'heter, I don't know if this is mutar on Shabbos, asr on Shabbos, something like that. Kosher, not kosher. That's where suffix d'oraisa l'chumra applies. But by dinim d'rabbanan, by dinim mamonos, there's a different rule that's operative. Hamotzi mechavero. I love Haraya. So you're going to tell me Lukuchos ain't magzirun l'zel l'zebiyovel because of a suffix? You would never have to return something because of a suffix. You would say Motzi mechaver alav Haraya. If it were really a suffix, let them keep it. So says the Yam Shul Shlomo, you see that the Ran is incorrect. That the fact that we don't rely on Breira on a Daraisa is Betoras Vadai that we don't rely on Breira on a Daraisa. It's not Betoras suffix that we don't rely on Breira on a Daraisa. So this is very relevant. It comes up, I remember when I was I became a youth director when I was in Shachtos here in yeshiva, so to make a little extra money, I became a youth director in a shul. Didn't work out so well. I was only youth director for like 2 months. So it wasn't for me. Shul work, not for me. So I became a youth director in a shul, and we had to buy prizes for the kids. For groups, and back in those days, you could still give prizes to some kids and not others if they actually behaved and did things. So not everyone got a trophy back then. So, but you didn't know which you really did know. But you, if, on the books, you didn't know which kids were going to earn the prizes and which kids were. So when you buy the prizes on Erev Shabbos, so you don't know who's going to get it. So you have to make a kinyan on Shabbos to give to the child. You're going to be maknid to the child the prize on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make kinyanim on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make kinyanim. So I wanted to know, when you buy the prizes, can you say, I'm not buying it for myself, I'm not buying it for the shul, I'm buying it for whichever lucky kid is the one who answers the parsha questions correctly, or whatever it is, more likely the baseball questions correctly. That's who this prize is for. And then, Huver Adavul Mafreya, when the kid answers it correctly, that the kinyan was made for him. So since it's only an Issa Nisim Drabanan. So yes, Rav Shach said, Beit Salam Ches, we rely on Breira, Fadim Drabanan, we don't rely on Breira, Fadim Daraisa. So that you could say, Huvra Dovla Mafreya, that's who it belonged to. Halacha Lamaisa, this is what we pass on that. We rely on Breira for Drabanans, we don't rely on Breira for Daraisas. So now the Gemara says, explains the din of a shor that's meant to be sold, whose Shvisa is it Kona, meaning whose Tchum is it limited to. So first, Darsh Marzut Shalach Rabashaya, like we said, that Bidraban Yesh Bidar I say. Now, Amr Shmuel, Shor Shal Patam, if you have a Shor that belongs to a person who fattens oxen in order to sell them, Hareu Karagli Kaladam, they take on the Tchum of whoever buys it. Since it's Omid the Mechira, meaning the person is not trying to keep the Shor, he's trying to sell it. So on Erev Yom Tov, he already has in mind that it should be subject to the Tchum of whoever ends up being the one to buy it. Shor shel roeh, if you have a shor that belongs to a roeh, to a shepherd, to a person who's megadol behemos for himself, and every once in a while he'll sell an animal to a neighbor or to somebody else, hareu karagle osayir. So it has 2,000 amos from in all directions from the city, but not karagle bnei ir acheres, where you wouldn't have thought to sell it to someone from outside the city. You're not such a businessman. You only sell it to locals, because this person is not known as a mocher behemos to people in other cities, and they therefore don't normally purchase from him. So therefore, it's only subject to the tchum of the people in that city. So now, the Mishnah had said, Hashol kli mechaver me'erev yom tov. A person borrows a kli on erev yom tov, so the tchum of that kli is the shovel's tchum, the borrower's tchum. Says Mar Pshita, of course it's the borrower's tchum. It was in his rishus on erev yom tov. Why does the Mishnah have to tell me such a din? So says Mar Lotricha, Shlom Masrulo el Yom Tov. Now the Chiddush is, he didn't take possession of it until Yom Tov. So at Bein HaShmashos, the borrower did not have the Kli in his possession. So Mal Detem Alav B'Rishus HaYukmei, I might have thought that since it was not in his Rishus, it's not going to take on his Tchum Shabbos. So Kamash Malan, that's why he comes to tell me that since the deal was already in place that he would borrow the Kli, everyone already had Das, that the Kli would be in his possession, and therefore it's subject to his Tchum. As we said yesterday, that the way the Ran formulates it is that the din of Tchumin is Taloi in Gemiras Das, and it's not Taloi in Kinyin. You don't need a Kinyin, you don't need to actually take possession, you just need a Gemiras Das, that this is who is going to have this Kli. Misayel Rabbi Yochanan. Based on this, we have a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Hashol Kli Mechaver Erev Yom Tov. A person borrows a Kli from somebody else on Erev Yom Tov. Afal Pishlon Son Elel Yom Tov. Even though he doesn't give it to, he only gives it to his friend on Yom Tov, Hareu Keragle Hashoel. He only told him on Erev Yom Tov that he's maskim to lend him the kli. Still, it takes on the tchum of the shoel, because once there's an agreement in place, that's all you need. Similarly, or on the flip side, the Mishnah said be Yom Tov keragle amashil, that if you only borrow the kli on Yom Tov, then the tchum that the kli is limited to is the mashil's kli and not the shoel's kli. Says Mar Pshita, obviously there was no deal in place, there was no borrowing happening yet when Yom Tov started. So when Yom Tov started, it was still Reuven's, even though Reuven was lending it out to Shimon, it was still Reuven's, it wasn't Shimon's yet. So obviously it's going to be in Reuven's, it's going to be subject to Reuven's Tchum Shabbos. Says Mar Lo Tzricha, Derugil V'Shal Minei. Now this is a case where every single Shabbos, Shimon borrows Reuven's Kli. Shimon decided, you know, Shimon's a neighbor of Reuven's, Shimon doesn't own a corkscrew. And every Friday night he comes home from Shul and he has a bottle of wine. What am I going to do? So he goes to his neighbor. So every single Shabbos it happens, over and over again. So one might think that Reuven already thinks, yeah, this corkscrew is for Shimon for Shabbos. You know, I already bought an extra one for myself because I know that Shimon is always needs one. So this is his. So Kamash Malan, therefore it tells me, Meimar Amar, that maybe Reuven's thinking, who knows, maybe this Shabbos Shimon will make a new friend and he'll be able to borrow a corkscrew from Levi and he's not going to borrow it from me. That's the and therefore he doesn't. Reuven does not necessarily have in mind that it's going to be subject to the tchum of Shimon. Shitim Gvetza says, you know, the Gemara could have said that maybe he'll buy the chifetz. You know, maybe he'll have, maybe he'll buy his own. Maybe this week he'll go to the store and he'll buy his own corkscrew. So he said, he could have said that that the reason he didn't borrow the chifetz is because he doesn't need it. But the Gemara is saying in Chiddush that even if you know he needs it, you know that he didn't buy it, still that's enough reason. You still have enough reason to assume that maybe he's not going to take yours. That maybe he's still, it's still, you're, Reuven is still the owner of this kli, and maybe Shimon is not going to be taking possession of this kli over the course of Shabbos. So therefore, it's still subject to Reuven's own tchum. So v'cheni isha shalom michaverta. Then we said that the same is true where a woman borrows from a friend. Meaning, we paskin, generally speaking, the psak halacha when it comes to a taroves, just to introduce the sugya, is that iser gets mixed with heter. We assume that it's bitul barov. If there's rov heter and a miyut of iser, so that's a taroves, and the iser is batul barov heter. When it's min bimino, you have chitim that are aser that are mixed with chitim that are mutter. So that's machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, what the shir bitul is. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not batul. There is no shir bitul. Min bimino, ain't no batul. Nothing overpowers the other because they're two like kinds. They just enhance each other, and the iser is not batul. He derives from the pasuk. V'lokach midama par umidama sa'ir. Now a par has a lot more dam than a sa'ir does. So you'd imagine if you mix the dama par and dama sa'ir together, there is no dama sa'ir anymore. It's batal barov. And yet the Torah still speaks of dama par and dama sa'ir. So you see that even though they're mixed together and there's so much more dama par, the dama sa'ir is still a thing. So by a tarov, so that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. But by a tarov of min b'she'enu mino, everyone holds that there's bitul, but there's a chiluk between the tarov of Yavish B'Yavish and Taroves of Lach B'Lach. That Taroves of Yavish B'Yavish Mi'ikra Din is Batal Barov. Taroves Lach B'Lach that gets mixed really well, where you have liquid mixed really well together, then it's the Isser spreads out evenly in the entire Taroves, and that's Bitul B'Shishim. Now, Chum assume that that's when the Tam is going to be Batal, so Lach B'Lach requires Shishim, Yavish B'Yavish requires Rov, but if it's Min B'Min, then you have a machlokas whether there's bitul brov at all, whether there's bitul at all. Maybe according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no bitul at all. Right? These are maisim b'chol yom that these shailas come up. A woman just texted me last night. She was making her kugels for Shabbos, and her children were having ice cream, and she's pretty sure some ice cream splattered from onto one of the kugels. So can she use those kugels? So the kugel was still not yet baked. It was a potato, so there was lach b'lach. For sure, bitul. Also, it's a woman who generally tends to be concerned that things happened, whether they did or didn't happen. So probably it didn't really happen anyway. So probably that was fine anyhow. So kisalak rabbi, but that would be the principle of bitul b'shishim. That it's a lach b'lach, so it's bazel b'shishim. Kisalak rabbi Abba, when Rabbi Abba wanted to go to Eretz from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, just to fair warning, Shitim Gubetzes writes that most of the mefarshim don't understand this sugya. It's too difficult to understand who's answering whose question. Like, it doesn't seem that, it seems like they're talking past each other in the rest of the sugya. So we're going to stick with Shitas Rashi in how to understand the sugya, but let's go for it. So Kisalak Rabbi Abba, when Rabbi Abba wanted to go to from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Amar Ye Rabba De'ima Milsa Tetzkabel, he said a little tefillah that Yehi Ratzon, that I should say Divrei Torah that people are interested in, that people are going to accept. The Marcheshes, in his introduction to the Sefer Marcheshes, quotes this Gemara, because the Marcheshes was living at a time where he was an older Talmud Chacham, and there was this young fellow on the scene that was capturing everyone's hearts and minds with his new style of Torah. His name was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and the Marcheshes felt that no one was interested in the old style of learning anymore. So he says, I never understood, why do you have to daven that your Divrei Torah are going to be accepted? He said, now I see that there are new styles that capture people's imagination. No one's interested in the old style anymore. So I daven that he wrote in the introduction of the Sefer, I daven that someone will read my Sefer, that that people are still going to be interested in what I have to say. So this was the tefillah that Rabbi Abba had. It didn't work. He saw that when Rabbi Abba got to Eretz Yisrael, Ashka, the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Papi, Rabbi Zeir, Va'amrila, Rabbi Yavav, Rabbi Shimon ben Paz, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, a group of Chashva Rabbanim were sitting there, V'yasvi, and they were discussing the Mishnah that says that if a woman borrows from her friend, Tavlin and Mayim and Melech for her dough, so it's Karagle Shtehan, that the resulting Challah is going to be subject to the tchum of both of them. The Ka'amri, Amai, why would it be Karagle So why don't we say that the water and the salt becomes batel in the isa, in the dough? So Amalur Rabbi Abba, so Rabbi Abba said, right, this Rabbi Abba who had davened that they should not make fun of him, what if a person has a kav of his own wheat, gets mixed in with 10 kavin of someone else's wheat, the guy who owns the 10 kavin could just eat all 11 kavin and just be happy with that and say, oh, it's batel, so it's all mine? Meaning this talian bailus, the whole din of tchumen is talian who the owner is. Ownership isn't batel. Isser is batel. So that was the point he made. He thought he made a good point. Achikwale. Right away they laughed at him. So Amr Luhu, he said, I don't get it. Did I steal your shirts that you're laughing? Meaning, am I a comedian over here? So Hadra Achikwale. Oh, good one about the shirts. They laughed again. So he was perplexed. So Amr Avoshaya, Shap Rav Dachikwale. So Avoshaya said, they did the right thing by laughing at him, by not accepting what he had to say. Why did he not give an example of chitim mixing with sa'orim? He only gave an example of chitim mixing with chitim. The reason he didn't mention chitim and sa'orim, because chitim and sa'orim is min b'sheinu mino. Min b'sheinu mino batal. And even he is moda that when it's min b'sheinu mino, it's going to be batal. So chitim b'chitim nami. So when it comes to wheat also, nihidil Rabbi Yehuda lo batal, he wants to say, oh, there's no bittul when there's chitim mixing with chitim. Rabbi Yehuda would say that way, because Rabbi Yehuda's min b'mino zeinu batal, but according to the Rabbanan, it is going to be batel. So by the Mayim and the Melech also, it should be batel Gabi the Isa, and therefore it doesn't have the shame of the owner of the Mayim and the Melech anymore, and it should be batel, and the tchum of the challah should belong to the owner of the challah, not the owner of the Mayim and the Melech that are in the challah, that it should be batel. So Amalei Rav Safra said to Rav Ashaya, who was matzed those who rejected Rabbi Abba, who laughed at Rabbi Abba, Moshe. So unclear what he means by that. Moshe, he calls him Moshe. So Rashi says, "B'kvodo shel Moshe Rabbeinu." Others say, "I'll plead the Mekubalim," that there's a nitzotz of every in every generation. There's a nitzotz of Moshe Rabbeinu in every tzaddik, in every in the tzaddikim of every generation. So he was calling him Moshe. He was calling out to that nitzotz of Moshe Rabbeinu that's in his neshama. That he says Moshe. So some of the Mekubalim even say the halacha that since Moshe Rabbeinu separated from Tzipora, that if a tzaddik becomes an alman and he doesn't want to get remarried, that we don't bother him about it because there's a nitzotz of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hard to understand why that would be the case. So Moshe Shaper Kamrit, why you think you're saying good? Do you not know that these Amoraim that asked on the Mishnah Hadam Rabbi Chia Katovsa Mishmei de Rav Haborit Troros, if a person picks out rocks Migrano Shal Chavero from Goren that belong from a silo that belongs to someone else from all of his wheat that had some rocks mixed in Chayiv L'Shalim Lo Dmei Chitim, he has to pay him for the wheat that he cost him because the fellow could have sold the wheat with the rocks in it and he would have gotten the price of whatever the volume of that wheat is. Now that you've cleaned it out and you've taken out all the rocks, you cost him money because now he can only sell the wheat minus the volume of the rocks. So Alma, Kila Chasre, we see from the fact that he's Chayiv that he was Mechaser the measurement, the volume. So now you have to add extra wheat. He's going to have extra wheat when he sells it. Even though the Avanim themselves are worthless, you see from there that Din Mamon is so Chamor. So Hachanami over here also, by Mayim Melech in the dough, even though it may be insignificant and maybe so small, but it's worth something. So Kila Chasre, at the very least, it costs the fellow something to give up that Mayim and Melech. So even though by Isser it's Shaykh say Bittel, but when there's also a Din Mamon involved, you don't say Bittel when we're talking about Mamon. So Amalei Abaye said to Rav Safra, who compared the Din of being Borat Sroros, where you're Chayiv, to the Din of the Mishnah, that it's not Bittel because the Mayim and the Melech is also Din Mamon. V'lo Sharin Le'marbe, Mamon Sheyesh Lo Tovin, Le'Mamon Sheyin Lo Tovin. When you're Borat Sroros, you could be the Balachitim could be Toveya, that which he lost. He lost out on the volume of those Sroros. So of course, it's it's not going to be batel. But over here, it's mamon she'en lo tovin. The woman gave her mayim and melach to the owner of the dough, and she's not supposed to return it until after yantiv. So since all you have right now is an isra shvisa because of the mamon that's meurav in it. So over here also, since it's a miut and it's mamon she'en lo tovin, it should not be considered mamon. It should be have a regular dinim of isra and should be batel. It shouldn't be considered like mamon. Amalei, so he said back to him, l'tameich l'shitascha, that the din bittel is of mamon, that if it's mamon she yesh lo tovin, it's not going to be batel, and ein lo tovin is going to be batel. Hadam Rav Chista, that which Rav Chista said according to Rabbi Yehuda, nevela betela b'shchuta, that a nevela that gets mixed in with a lot of shechted meat, that it becomes batel in the shechted meat, and if you touch one of the chatichos of meat, you're not going to become tame, because we assume that it's a mixture of min b'shein omino, so it's totally batel. Because basar shchuta cannot become nevela. Once it's already shechted, it's too late. It's never going to be nevela. But shchuta, and therefore, but on the flip side, shchuta is ena betela b'nevela. If the majority of the meat is nevela meat and a minority of it is shchuta meat, the shchuta does not become patel in the nevela. And if you touch one of the pieces, you're not going to become tamei b'toras vadai. It's going to be a safek. Lefisha efsha l'nevela shetasa shchuta. And the reason for that is that nevela can become shchuta. How can nevela become shchuta? If it's already nevela, it's already dead. How's it going to become shchuta? Because if nevela becomes disgusting to the point that it's not roi l'achila anymore, so then it loses its status of nevela. Nevela she'ena ruya l'ger is ena kriya nevela. So achanami. So over here also, in the case of the nevela shchuta, d'chiyis lo bailim, the nevela has a bailim and lo batla. The nevela is not going to be batel. According to Abaye, the mom she'esh lo tovin is ena batel. So it's batel, even though it's yesh lo bailim. So you see from here that when there is bittel, it's not totally on the bailim, whether it's yesh, whether there's tovin or not tovin. So hu adin our mishnah, that is din mamun, there's no bittel, it's not totally at all whether yesh lo tovin or not. So we are out of time, so we'll stop there. But we'll pick up with V'chitei Malchinami in the middle of this complicated discussion tomorrow. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
Great Shabbos.
Leave me. The host has ended this meeting. I don't know.